And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm The Cradle, Dave Slade.
And I'm The Convert, Mark Barthelemy.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Mark. Can you believe it's almost Christmas? And the weather is like springtime out there.
Yeah, it sure is. In fact, I wore a light jacket in today. You're in your shirt sleeves, so.
Yeah, well, mid-50s, you know, the only person that wouldn't be happy about this would be Bing Crosby.
Yeah, probably so, because he likes
dreaming
a white,
of a white,
I know.
White
I know
Christmas.
He still is, probably. I don't think again, I doubt it snows in heaven.
If he was around here, he'd be getting tea times just like the rest of us. I think I'm going to play again tomorrow.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I said about you last week.
Yeah,
it applies again today.
And I had a good round anyway.
Of course, it's going to pour down rain tomorrow. That'll be poetic justice. You're out there to be 63, 64 degrees and pouring down rain.
Well, I'm not a fair weather golfer anyway.
Oh, well, okay.
Hey, before we get too far along tonight, I want to mention that Todd Newell called me last night, Mark, and informed me about the winner of the car giveaway.
Yeah, he was just on last week.
Yeah, and they were going to draw last Friday. So he's the Newell Auto Body Christmas Wish and Newhoff Media presented, I believe it was a 2005 Cadillac CTS, totally refurbished, to Robin Whitaker of Argenta.
Well.
Now get this, Mark. They had 300 nominations for people to win this car. 90 different people nominated Robin.
Wow.
So I talked to Todd, and he said he'd like to come back in January and tell us about this tremendous blessing for everybody involved and invite Robin to be on with us.
And I assume Todd's going to tell us why these 90 people nominated. Okay, good.
And he said she's really so very, very grateful that, it'll bring tears to your eyes to hear
good.
The story. So anyway, for tonight, Mark, hey, it's the Tuesday before Christmas. Let's talk Christmas a little bit.
Okay.
And we're going to talk secular Christmas just for a little bit. About the fond memories that we have of Christmases gone by.
Yes, indeed.
You know, when I was little, Mom and Dad always made a big deal out of Christmas. And my dad was a pretty shrewd guy.
Yeah, he still is.
He would go to Eisner's in November, and they'd have the big displays up on top of the shelves.
Yes, yes.
And he would put his bid down on those big gifts up there. Because since they were displays, he could get a deal on them.
Sure.
My mom and dad didn't have a lot of
money
back then.
Right, he's a public servant. We understand that.
And so one year, they got me a Big Bertha cannon.
Shot
foam balls.
You sure did.
A Jimmy Jet.
Yep.
You remember that?
You
flew it like a jet.
Yep, I sure do.
Shot little darts and missiles. And, but one of the best gifts that I can remember getting was this Whirlybird helicopter. My Uncle Pat got it for me. It's about 2 feet long.
Yeah?
And it had double spinning blades. It was like a Chinook helicopter.
I bet your folks were pleased with that.
They didn't spin fast enough to hurt you.
Oh, okay.
But I got to thinking, today if you did that, gave a kid one of those, it would actually fly.
Oh, absolutely, around the house.
And it would send video back to you from the neighborhood.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that's how far we've come.
Sure, but I could have got a lot of trouble with that.
I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. How about, did you ever have any 11th hour putting together of Christmas gifts for your kids?
Oh, you know those stories, brother. Used to get off shift at 11 o'clock at night, and so I didn't wake the kids up. I would go over to the neighbor's house, and he would allow me to assemble their bikes and their trikes and all those sort of things, you know, that the many toys they had that required assembly, missing nuts and bolts, which he had an assortment of on his workbench, so it worked out well.
Yeah, but you never got all the parts.
No. But and then in the morning when I was missing three or four fingers and had my hands bandaged from screwdriver slipping, you know, there was nothing mechanized in those days.
Thank goodness.
You know, I'd be sitting there watching them look at their gifts from Santa, and they're going, Dad, how's come you're all bandaged up here? Oh, Dad had a rough night, you know. I remember those well.
Well, I remember putting together a bicycle on Christmas Eve, like you said, after we got off work, out in the garage, it was about zero.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, that's why I use a neighbor's basement. It was only 40 degrees. I mean, it was warm down there.
Well, and you know, I have such a beautiful tool collection.
Yes, yes, I've seen it.
Most of them said Jim Slade on them.
Yeah.
And they were hand-me-downs, and who knows. And I, like I've always said, I don't even know how to start a hammer.
Yeah.
But the terror of, am I going to get this thing put together before the sun comes up?
Yeah, it 4:59, you're crawling into bed, and they're up.
Yeah, and the kids are up ready to go. Unbelievable. Yeah. How about, did you ever go to any Christmas plays or piano recitals?
Oh, yeah. Had those when the youngsters were little, yes.
Now, let me ask you this. When one of your daughters got done with the recital or the piano, did you get up and leave?
No, because usually I was videotaping.
Okay, so you stayed for the whole program, for the other people's kids, too.
Pretty much.
Well, it's very Christian of you, because, you know, in this day and age, one of the, the parents gets done, and they're out of there. Yeah, they don't even hang around for the rest of the kids, which just seems kind of rude.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you one of my favorite Christmas memories. When I was a little guy, my dad and I would always watch A Christmas Carol, and it came on at 10:30 on WCIA Channel 3. And it was the one with Alastair Sim.
Yeah.
And Alastair Sim was the best Scrooge ever.
Yeah.
You know, he just, he had the look. It was in black and white. It
had the
feel of old London.
Everything was in black and white. They hadn't even invented color TV when you were a kid.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
The thing is, we'd always get about to the ghost of Christmas Future.
Uh-huh.
And Dad would say, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
So where are we going? Well, we'd go to Midnight Mass.
Ah, yeah.
And Midnight Mass back then was a big deal.
Sure.
But the point of the story is, I didn't get to see the end of A Christmas Carol with Alastair Sim until I was probably 25. We always had to leave for Mass.
Well, I'm wanting to know, you know, we went to a lot of Midnight Masses after we got off shift at 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. you know, and the wives would join us. And what? How come you weren't there when you were 25?
Well, I probably was. I just never got to see the end of the movie.
Oh, I see.
Until I was an adult.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Midnight Mass at, I went to St. Patrick back then. I still do. And Midnight Mass was, it had a procession that there were like eight servers that processed in carrying candles with the red things around them. There'd be two or three priests because at St. Patrick at the time we had a pastor, Monsignor Powell, and two or three assistants. And they would process in and it was a high mass. Mm-hmm. With all the music, it was just really amazing. Even for a kid, even for a little kid, it was pretty amazing. One of the other things, even as a little kid, there was always standing room only.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we would usually stand toward the back near the confessionals. And as a little guy, I'd go into the confessional and curl up and fall asleep.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, the whole church is praying, and here's a red light back on in the confessional.
Well, were they all looking for you for an hour after Mass?
Yeah, I think Dad knew where to find me.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
But the bottom line was, I didn't get to see the end of that movie for a long time.
Well, I'll be darned. I'm glad you finally fulfilled your dream, then.
I'm blessed enough this year. I am going to serve Mass at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's.
Wow. Wow, good for you.
So I'm pretty tickled about that.
Good for you.
Now, you got any special memories about your Christmases?
Oh, I just remember, interestingly enough, snooping in the gifts one year. And I was trying to read through the paper, and I could tell it was a trumpet or a cornet or something. It was a plastic one, but, you know. That isn't what I asked for. And I remember going into the kitchen throwing a fit with Mom like 3 or 4 days before Christmas saying, I didn't even want that thing, you know. And she said, well, fine. Let me just go get it right now, and you don't have to worry about it. She took it. Well, immediately, you know, the old psychology, I wanted that thing.
Yeah,
do you know it got held somewhere in the house for 6-7 months until she finally gave it to me? But boy, did that teach me a lesson about snooping into the gifts.
Mm, I didn't know you played the trumpet.
It wasn't. It was plastic. You know, it was one of those had colored taps on it.
Oh,
you know, you play according to what the little sheet told you to play. So I never did master it.
But did you ever have any problems with your Christmas tree?
Yeah. Many fond memories of Dad wrestling that thing into the house, you know, and pine needles going everywhere, and then trying to get it in the stand, and it was too big for the stand, so then there was sawing going on in the trunk of it, and then there was putting water in it, and then it wouldn't sit level, you know, and in those days, they didn't have anything sophisticated. You had the little metal bowl and the three legs, which one of them was always trying to come out because you had the screws, the thumb screws, you know, on each side of it trying to tighten it up. Then you get it done, and you'd have a matchbook or something under one side of it, you know, to keep it level. Yeah, man. And then it had to go out of the house after Christmas. More pine needles, and those were hurtful pine needles. I mean, they were sharp.
They get dry and poke you.
Yeah.
Well, one year, ours fell over. The tree fell over, and Dad was at the firehouse. So Uncle Jim came over, and he nailed it to the floor. You know, the three-prong thing you were talking about.
Man.
Nailed it into the hardwood. Well, anyway, it stayed up the rest of the year.
I suspect so. You could just, sit a wrapped box over that trunk, you know, the thing there. And
I can only imagine what my dad thought when he came home.
Yeah,
and I got one other.
I can imagine what he said when he came home.
And I hope my dad's not listening tonight, but One year we were having Christmas Eve, and he had a firefighter friend, an old bachelor, Harry Johnson.
Oh, yeah, I remember Harry.
And we had a fire going in the fireplace, and we're watching TV, and Mom's preparing dinner. And my little sister, who at the time was probably, you know, I don't know, 12 or something, was looking at the fireplace, and she says, "Daddy, I see smoke coming out behind the mirror." My dad said, "Oh, baloney, you know, just..." A little bit later, she says, there it is again. And we all looked up and we all saw it. The flue had caught on fire.
Oh, how nice.
And we had to call the fire department. Mm-hmm. But before my mom would let the firemen in, she laid down all these throw rugs. Well, they had to chop the back of the fireplace out during Christmas Eve to extinguish the fire.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they put up a bunch of Visqueen, the plastic, across the fireplace.
Sure.
And then we all sat down and had our Christmas dinner.
Well, there you go. So, a little smoky, was it?
Well, it actually went up the flue.
Oh, gosh.
You know, isn't that something?
Yeah, it is. I had one grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who lived, I don't know, I'm going to say 50 miles away, somewhere around there in Oakland, Illinois. And we would pack up on Sunday morning. Saturday night has always been the Barthelemy family Christmas night. And then Christmas Day was for Grandma Kite, who lived over in Oakland. And we would climb in the car and travel over there. And I remember one year my folks got me a little fedora and a top coat and a suit and a white shirt and a tie, just like Dad wore to work every day. And so I thought I was big stuff with my suit and everything. And so we went over to see Grandma, and I remember that Christmas specifically. It was fun.
Okay. Well, let's take a break here. We'll get off of the secular Christmas here, and we'll move into the faithful side, the religious side of Christmas. And you're going to tell us a little bit about adoration and how that applies at Christmas time.
Indeed.
Okay, we'll be right back.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Welcome back, WDCR listeners. You're back with the Cradle and the Convert here, and I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about Eucharistic adoration. You know, Dave, we talked about the secular part of Christmas early on with some memories, childhood memories, but we need to really focus on what this holiday, what Christmas is about. It's about the coming of our Lord, mm-hmm. and the redemption that eventually would be brought to all of the faithful through his presence. And, you know, a lot of Catholics, I think, hear about Eucharistic adoration, but if they weren't actually raised like a cradle is in the church, they may not really even know what that is. And it's a period of time, usually of an hour or more, where you go to St. Mary's Hospital, actually chapel we have here in Decatur, and spend time alone with our Lord, Jesus Christ, in the presence of his sacred body, encased in what's called a monstrance that sits on the altar, generally a gold metal pedestal, if you will, that it is clearly displayed. And if you haven't done this before, or even if you did it for a while and you haven't done it in the past, and you feel the Holy Spirit's calling you back, then it's a unique and moving experience to have alone, totally alone with our Redeemer. Imagine this incredible opportunity, folks. Now, if we as Catholics believe in the true presence,
absolutely,
of our Lord in the Eucharist. Now, did you even know that our Lord is on display 24/7 in the chapel of St. Mary's Hospital? And stop and think about this. If you had the opportunity to sit down with Jesus and look right at him and speak to him, what would you say to him? What would you ask him if you had the opportunity? Sometimes when we're praying, do we feel distance between ourselves and the Lord? And have you ever imagined or tried to imagine being face-to-face with Jesus. I mean, we all think about our death where we're going to be judged.
Yeah.
And he, that's where he sits at the right hand to judge the living and the dead. And
well, you know, when I go to adoration,
yeah,
I look at that Eucharist, but I close my eyes and I imagine if Jesus was standing right there.
Yeah, exactly.
How differently would I behave?
Exactly. Oh, or think. I mean,
our thoughts
sometimes are worse than what we actually say or do. But listen, folks, if you want that opportunity, if you feel that you would love to look at the Lord, to listen, open your mind and heart and listen to him, or to say something to him, there's no better way of doing that than the Eucharistic or a Eucharistic adoration. I can vouch for this. I've done it for several years now. I do it at from midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning here in St. Mary's Chapel. And could I get a better time? I probably could, but you know what? That really is a sacrifice for me to leave home at that hour in the dark, especially when it's cold out like it is, and in past winters when the snow's flying, and to trudge in to the chapel and then spend that time, and then to get back out, scrape the car off at 1 in the morning, then drive back home.
Yeah.
I really feel like I've shown the Lord how important he is in my life to spend that period of time with him. And it is a truly moving experience. Now, do you want to tell us about that? You shared one with me you had.
Well, you know, I was in the chapel one day for adoration, and I kind of went into a Lectio Divino type thing,
mm-hmm.
and I just imagined the Lord standing there
sure.
on the altar in person,
right.
me and him. And then I just kind of let my imagination run away with me, which I don't believe now. Looking back, it was my imagination.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lord walked down the aisle to me, and he stood in front of me, and he said, "Dave, why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that you want?
Exactly.
Why are you here?" And he and I had this conversation, and believe me, Mark, I wasn't asking myself these questions.
No.
It was very moving. I felt like I really had a visit from Christ, and the answers that I was giving him were true from the heart because it was just me and him.
Wow.
And it was really, frankly, it was amazing.
I bet it was.
And ever since then, when I go in there, I look at the monstrance, but I imagine that host, of course, is Jesus Christ, the
right.
same body, blood, soul, and divinity that walked the streets of Nazareth,
exactly.
the same carpenter, the same Christ that at the Last Supper gave us his body and blood, the same Jesus that was crucified on Calvary. That's him.
Exactly.
The same Jesus that rose from the dead on Easter morning and opened the gates of heaven.
You're absolutely right. I think, David, a lot of people say, well, I don't really know how to pray. Or I don't pray that much because I'm not comfortable with it. Sure you are. You hit the nail on the head a minute ago. When you're sitting there with some dilemma or some mm-hmm. issue or some problem, and you're keep mulling this over in your mind and you're asking yourself questions, you know, mentally about what about this, what about that, should I do this, who are you talking to? If you knew the answer, you wouldn't be meddling over it.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't be sitting there trying to figure out in your mind what to do. You are talking, looking for answers. And
yep.
who are you talking to? Who's got all the answers?
That's
so
right.
You know how to pray, folks. Everybody knows how to pray because we all do it constantly.
And the other thing about adoration, Mark, that I so enjoy is our lives are so full of noise.
Oh.
Constant noise.
Yeah.
And you go in that chapel and there's a special feeling and a special silence. It seems like it's insulated from the hospital. It is so quiet. Well, if you're praying and you want to hear God speak to you, as we recall, he didn't come in the earthquake and he didn't come in the wind. He
That's
came
right.
in a quiet whisper.
That's right.
That we need to have silence in our lives to be able to listen to what he's trying to tell us. Otherwise, we've got music playing and people jabbering and our minds are constantly rolling. It's a great place to just try to empty your mind and listen to what God is trying to tell you.
And, Dave, think about just right along that theme, the busy mother who's got two or three kids and she's raised, you know, running here and there and taking them here and there and into their lessons, into sports events and everything else. And then when they're at home, all of them want her attention at once or they're into mischief and she's constantly, they're always... They're kids. And so here she is. Moms, think about this now. And grandmas, maybe you could suggest this to your daughters or daughter-in-laws even, or son-in-laws. If you want an hour of silence, mm-hmm. peace, true peace, if you're looking for that in your life, what a better way to do it than to sit with God, sit with Jesus in the chapel, and just, if nothing else, enjoy that silence and listen. You don't have to talk to him. He might talk to you.
Well, you know, Father John Vianney, the curé of ours,
yes,
had a guy that came to adoration,
yes,
almost every day.
Yes.
And finally, Father Vianney goes back and he says, what do you do here for all this time? And the man said, well, I sit here and I look at him and he looks back at me.
Right.
You know, so you don't have to be engrossed in saying rosaries or Chapel of Divine Mercy. You can sit quietly. Now, I had a friend that said, you know, I got embarrassed when I went once because I fell asleep. Well, you know what? What greater gift? You were a father. I'm a father.
Yeah.
What greater gift than to have your child fall asleep in your arms?
So you can adore them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and they say if you're praying a rosary and you fall asleep, the angels finish it for you.
I never heard that one, but yep. They may have done that several times for me.
And, you know, the bottom line is even if you would happen to fall asleep, which I don't recommend, but it happens. You know, the apostles fell asleep with Christ in the garden. But somebody will come in that door to relieve you, and you know, don't be embarrassed. It's about making the effort, spending the time in adoration, praying, you know, laying out your petitions, and listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to tell listeners, if you're considering this, and I don't think you'll be sorry, even just try it. Tell, you know, take a slot. Call, and I'm going to give you a number here in a minute. Take the slot just once or twice and see what you do with it.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
And you know, Mark, you don't even have to take a slot, really. If you've never done it, come by any time.
Well, that's,
you know,
true.
People are welcome any time. If you only have 15 minutes, 20 minutes, stop in and spend that time in silence and see how it changes you. I'm telling you, every time I've gone to adoration, I've walked out with a wonderful feeling and something good has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something documentable. Not just a good feeling, but something good and positive happens, you know,
yep.
And that's how God touches us.
Absolutely. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, you know, that used to, mm-hmm. that went on forever, and the two little evils that were trying to figure out how to keep man from worshiping God, you know, from finding that joy, and so their answer was noise.
Yep.
Noise. The older one said, you know, give them noise.
Yeah.
They can't concentrate. They can't think. And boy, is that true.
Yeah.
Our whole world is filled with noise. We have phones that beep. You know, we got televisions that go. We've got wristwatches that talk to us now. I mean, we've got everything out there making noise. Alarm clocks. And boy, is that the most irritating noise you ever hear in your life, is an alarm clock waking you up.
Yeah.
You know, and look at the silence you can have. And that is a key. Who were the first people on earth to have announced to them that Jesus was born?
Who were they?
The shepherds.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. And do you know why the angel came to the shepherds and
why?
Told them? Because they sat in silence.
Good point.
The darkness, the silence, they sat there.
And then they went in haste.
Yes, they did.
They didn't waste any time. They went right along.
With joy.
Well, good, Mark. I hope our listeners will take you up on that. And just stop in for a little bit and see what it's like and see the refreshment you get in your soul from spending some time with Christ.
And if you find that moving or you think you at least would like to try it, get a pen ready, folks, pen and paper. I know you've been taking notes because this is such an inspirational show tonight, but write this number down, 877-6716. That's 877-6716, and you'll be talking to Mary Comerford. Give her a call, folks, and explore this wonderful opportunity that you're being offered here to do adoration.
Okay, I got a couple programming notes, Mark.
All right.
Starting at 6 p.m. on the 23rd of December,
uh-huh.
I believe that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll be playing Christmas music through Relevant Radio through midnight on the 25th.
Wow.
Except on Christmas Eve at 2:30 in the afternoon from 2:30 to 4:30, we'll be playing the Mass from the Vatican with Pope Francis.
Oh, wow.
The Midnight Mass.
Cool.
We'll be on from 2:30 to 4:30 on Thursday. Otherwise, we're going to play Christmas music, and so you can, at your Christmas party, you can turn on 88.9 or 96.5 and have some nice Christmas music.
Yeah, while you're guzzling eggnog and eating cookies.
There you go. Well, that's about all we got for this week, Mark. I really enjoyed reminiscing. I hope our listeners brought back some fond memories of their Christmases to reflect back upon, to think about the masses. And I hope from this point people will continue to think about adoration in the chapel here at St. Mary's and take up your offer.
Pray about it, folks.
Okay, well, that's all we got.
And
this
we
evening.
Want to wish you from the cradle and the convert a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year,
God
folks.
Bless y'all. Let's say a quick prayer of thanksgiving to the Father. We'll just say a quick Hail Mary.
All right.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women.
And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Good night and Merry Christmas.
Good night, y'all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.